بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 16th session, reading from the Sharh of العقيدة الواسطية, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and the Sharh or explanation of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah. And tonight, in this 16th session, we're going to complete the hadith or the discussion concerning the hadith that we read last week from the chapter dealing with yani those characteristics or qualities, sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are confirmed in authentic hadith. We read 6 hadith last week, and we read the explanation of one of them from the Shaykh. The Shaykh's explanation of one of them, and tonight inshallah we'll take the remaining 5. Before we do that, we're going to go over some of the issues that we discussed last week from questionnaire study guide for lecture number 15. The first question being mentioned, 3 sifat, 3 qualities or characteristics of Allah that are affirmed in the title of this chapter, in the title. Amir.
His laughing, being happy, and descending.
Okay, in the title of the chapter, it is mentioned that from the sifat of Allah are His descending and His, yani, being happy and laughing. Naam. Second question mentioned, 3 sifat of Allah affirmed in this chapter, but not mentioned in the title. 3 sifat that are mentioned in the hadith that we read last week, but are not mentioned in the title. Abdul Wali.
The speech of Allah.
Speech of Allah.
The sight of Allah.
The what?
Allah sees.
Seeing? Okay, Allah looks. Yanzur.
And Allah has a foot.
No. And the affirmation of a foot for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others, other sifat that are not mentioned in the title. Yes. Yes, Father Sharif. Yeah.
Generosity.
Tayyib.
Forgiveness,
mashallah. Okay, it's mentioned in one narration, Rijlahu, and in another narration, Qadamahu. Naam. Naam, Muhammad. Al-Nida, calling out, that Allah calls out. Okay, so there are a lot of sifat that are mentioned in these hadith. What I really was hoping, though, was for the main sifat, yani that's the shahid. Why did Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mention these particular hadith? There are some main sifat that he intended. And there are other sifat that are also in the hadith, and all of that is fine. But there are some main sifat that he intended, and inshallah we'll look at them tonight. Naam, you have something, Ahmed? Okay. Okay, the third question, how has the mu'allif, the author, that is, who is the mu'allif? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. How has the mu'allif described the ahadith of sifat which we are obligated to have iman in? How has he described those hadith that contain sifat of Allah, and we are obligated to have iman in it? How has he described those hadith? Naam.
They're just as white.
Okay, so the ruling concerning what they contain is the same as the ruling concerning what's in the Quran. But he actually described those hadith. He said, yani, naam, Ahmed?
That it's obligatory to believe in the sifat that come in the hadith that were ruled authentic by the experts of hadith.
Okay. He said, al-hadith, al-ahadith, al-siha. Any that are authentic. Why are they authentic? Because they were received with acceptance by the Ahlul Ma'rifah. Any those who are experts in the field of hadith. Those people looked at those hadith and determined, and they accepted them as being valid, as being authentic. So the authentic hadith are hadith that have been examined by the people who are experts in the field, and they receive them with acceptance. And those hadith, what came in them, it is obligatory upon us to believe in it. In the same way that it's obligatory upon us to believe in what we found in the Quran. Question number 4. Mention the makana, the station or status of the sunnah in its relationship with the Quran. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, naam, several things. Zakariya.
The sunnah is an explanation of the Quran.
okay, the Sunnah is an explanation of the Quran. Can you give me that in Arabic so we can know exactly what you're talking about? Okay. Okay. تعبر عن ما تعبر عن القرآن. طيب. We'll come back to it. Come on. What else? يعني شيخ الأثيمين, it's not in our book, but we did discuss last week يعني the explanation of these terms. يعني, but we'll come back to it. Now.
السنة تفسر القرآن.
Okay. That's the language that he used first. السنة تفسر القرآن. Stop right there. What does that mean? Tufassir al-Qur'an. Somebody, anybody.
Explain. You can clear
the meaning.
Makes clear the murad, the maqsood, what is intended in a statement which its meaning might not be clear. The sunnah makes it clear. And the example that he gave of that is the mention of, yani, what is the reward for the people who do good? لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَالزِّيَادَ. What is the intended meaning of ziyada? What is the intended meaning of ziyada? Seeing the face of Allah. So this is the meaning of as-sunnah tufassir al-Qur'an. It makes clear the intended meaning of what came in the Qur'an that might not be clear. What is intended by it? Yani, if a person didn't read that hadith in Sahih Muslim, how would they know that that's the meaning of ziyada? So the sunnah makes clear tufassir al-Qur'an, that's the meaning of it. Naam, what else? Naam. Wa tubayyin. Tubayyin al-Qur'an. Meaning?
Makes clear of general things like salah.
Things that are general. The mujmal in the Quran, that's general, it makes, yani, it clarifies them, meaning it gives us the details. Allah orders us to perform salat, to give zakat. The details of it came in the sunnah. Now, what else? Let's go back to tu'abbir. Tu'abbir. An ma, huh? What, how has the Shaykh explained, yani, this expression, yani, that the sunnah tu'abbir? عنه, نعم. Okay, that's one of the meanings of it. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says that it brings ma'ani jadida wa ahkam jadida laysat fil Qur'an. And it brings us some meanings and some rulings that are not in the Qur'an at all. That's how he explained the meaning of this. And then he also said, yani, one other expression that Shaykh al-Uthaymeen used, he said, what else? تدلو عليه. And the Shaykh said this, the meaning here, what is it includes all of the above. It includes any tafsir of the Quran, it includes tabyeen of the Quran, it includes ta'bi of the Quran, includes all of that. So this particular question is a very important question because it makes us to understand the status, the high station of the sunnah, its importance, the importance of the sunnah. Unlike some people who might say, well, it's just sunnah. As though the sunnah is not important. As though the sunnah is not important. طيب, question number 5. Mention one dalil given by the sharih, the explainer of the text, indicating the sunnah as the second source of legislation. One of the evidences that he mentioned. Nam Zakaria. In huwa illa وحي يوها, يعني ما ينتقل عن الهوى, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what came in the Sunnah, he's not just expressing, يعني speaking of what, يعني from his desires, rather it is revelation that is revealed. Just like the Quran is revelation, what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came with, that is authentically narrated from him, is also revelation. Is also revelation. Naam. طيب. Okay, question number 6. Mention the sifa that is affirmed in the first hadith. That's the only one that we got the explanation of last week. The sifa that is affirmed in the first hadith and the wording of the hadith where this sifa is mentioned. The sifa, first, what is the sifa that's mentioned in the first hadith? That is intended, first hadith, Naam Ahmed?
Descending.
Huh? Descending. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. And what is the wording in the hadith with this?
ينزل.
Huh? ينزل ربنا إلى السماء الدنيا. Huh? كل ليلة. What men? متى? When? حين? نعم. When there remains the final third of the night. When the final third of the night remains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the سماء الدنيا. يعني to the heaven, the lowest heaven, that's above the earth. The last question mentioned three benefits that can be attained by a Muslim who gets up in the final third of the night. What are three benefits that a Muslim might achieve or attain if he gets up in the last third of the night? Behind Adu, what is it? I'm sorry, your name? Huh?
Dawood.
Okay. I take a little bit of time, but inshallah I'll get it.
Forgiveness of Allah.
You can achieve the forgiveness of Allah. What else? Naam. Your name?
Abdurrahman.
That should be the easiest name to be. Abdurrahman. Abdullah and Abdurrahman. Naam, Abdurrahman. Like, what did you say?
Blessings?
Okay, supplications. That Allah responds to your supplications. Naam, what else? What else? The third thing that's mentioned in the hadith, this hadith under discussion? Being given what you ask for. Yani, who will ask me so that I will give it to him? Who will supplicate to me so that I will respond to him? Who will seek forgiveness from me so that I may forgive him? Tayyib. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at the remaining five hadith. The Sheikh discusses some of them very, very briefly, and some of them with a little bit of detail. None of them he goes into a lot of detail about, but in any case, we're going to look a little bit at each of the hadith that remain. So, we're going to be reading tonight in Arabic from the top of page 58. Yani, last week we read the first line on the top of page 58. So, we're going to start with the second line on the top of page 58 through the remaining pages 60. In English, we're going to be reading from page 112 to 117, inshallah. Actually, the first line that we're reading from is the last words on the last line of page 111. In English, the bottom of page 111, the last line is the beginning of what we're going to be reading from today. It continues on the top of page 112. So if you're reading from English, the last line of page 111. Okay, so now, the Shaykh, yani the Sharih, that is Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says, وَهَكَذَا قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Hakada meaning, yani just like the hadith that we just mentioned, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا. He said, just like that is his saying, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَدْحَقُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ رَجُلَيْنِ يَقْتُلُ أَحَدُهُمَا الْآخَرَ كِلَاهُمَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Yani that Allah laughs concerning two men, who one of them killed the other one, and both of them will enter Jannah. One of them killed the other one, and both of them will enter Jannah. The Shaykh doesn't discuss this hadith. We saw it once before in a previous session. Who can explain how they will both enter the Jannah while one of them killed the other one? Let's try, we didn't hear from you today. Pierre, right?
Yes.
MashaAllah.
Yeah, one of them was killed is Muslim.
Okay, the one who was killed was a Muslim fighting in jihad in the way of Allah. And he was killed by a disbeliever. So dying in jihad, being killed, dying as a martyr, he enters paradise. The second one?
And the disbeliever actually turned to
Islam. Allah accepted the repentance of the disbeliever, guided him to Islam. He also fought and died as a martyr. So they both entered the Jannah. The Shaykh says concerning this hadith, Dahikun, yani yadhaku Allah, yani Allah laughs. He said, Dahikun yaliku billahi. It is a laughing that is befitting of Allah. And it should be understood in a way that's befitting of Allah, befitting of His greatness, His glory, His majesty. La yushabihu khalqahu fi sifatihim wa dahikihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not resemble His creation in their sifat, in their qualities or characteristics or descriptions, nor in their laughing. Yani a laughing that's befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that doesn't resemble yani the laughing of the human beings. بَلْ صِفَاتُ اللَّهِ تَلِيكُ بِهِ وَتُنَاسِبُهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَى. Rather, the sifat of Allah, they are befitting of Him, and they are suitable and appropriate for Him, Jalla wa'ala. Just as a note, some of the other scholars in explaining this hadith said that huwa sifatun min sifatihi al-fi'liyyah. Yani that the sifa of laughing is a sifa of Allah from His sifat, al-fi'liyyah, meaning what?
They were always
من صفاته الفعلي. What does it literally mean? الصفات الفعلية of actions, فعلية. يعني صفات that describe his actions. What is intended here are those صفات that are connected to his mashiach, and that he does whenever he wills. As opposed to what we said, the opposite is what? الصفات الذاتية, which means those صفات that are descriptions of his that, his divine self, his himself, describing himself. And what the rule is, how to understand them, they are those sifat that are inseparable from Allah. They are inseparable from Allah. Allah is always described with them. طيب. After this, the Shaykh mentions, that was the third hadith in the order that they are mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. That was the third hadith. يعني يدحق الله. That was the third hadith. And now he goes to the fourth hadith. The second hadith is going to come in the end of his explanation, in the end of his discussion. The fourth hadith, he says, هكذا, that is Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, says, هكذا قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم عجب ربنا من قنوت عباده وقرب غيره. يعني, our Rabb, he is amazed from the despair of his worshippers. وقرب غيره. يعني شيخ الوثيمين says و, the واو here means مع, مع قرب غيره. يعني غيره تغييره. يعني the meaning here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazed at the severe despair, hopelessness of his worshippers, while the change in their condition, Allah changing their condition, is near. يعني the person is hopeless, but the change in their condition is near. Yani Allah has power over everything. And he merely says to something, be. And the condition changes. Allah is amazed at his worshipper who's in despair. Oh, the change in his condition is near. The Shaykh, that's not the end of the hadith, but the Shaykh says the meaning of قُرْبِ غِيَرِهِ تَغْيِيرَ الْأُمُورِ. Yani the change in the affairs. Al-insan قَدْ يَقْنَتُ وَيَيْأَسُ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْجَدْبِ. Yani a person might be in despair and lose hope due to the severity of the drought. Yani there's no rain for a long time. Person may give up hope, while Allah granting relief is near. The person has given up hope, but the relief from Allah is near. That's the meaning. Yani Allah, your Rabb, is amazed from the despair, the severe despair of his worshippers, while the change in their condition is near. He says the remaining part of the hadith, يَنْظُرُوا إِلَيْكُمْ أَزِلِينَ قَانِتِينَ, that Allah, he is looking at you, and his worshippers. أَزِلِينَ means the person is in a very difficult situation. قَانِتِينَ means that the person has lost all hope. So he mentions two things here. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, يعني أزلين, Allah is describing the condition of the person. They're in a desperate, difficult situation. قانتين, he's describing the condition of the person's heart. Their heart has lost all hope of the mercy of Allah. They're in despair. They have given up. So he's describing the condition of the person. They're in difficulty, severe difficulty. And he's describing the condition of their heart, that they are in despair. He said, فَيَظَلُّ يَدْحَقُ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ فَرَجَكُمْ قَرِيبٌ. So Allah continues to laugh, knowing that your relief is near. Knowing that your relief is near. Yani the change in your condition, Allah changing your condition, is near. And the relief that you have given up hope from is also near. It's very near. The Shaykh, he doesn't discuss this hadith, but I will mention, yani, that from this hadith there is the mention of, yani, ajab, Allah being amazed, And there's the mention of yanzuru ilaykum, that he looks, Allah looks. And yadhaq, Allah laughs. Wa ya'lam, and Allah knows. All of these are sifat of Allah. All of these are sifat of Allah. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen also mentions, yani from the wording, qurbi ghiyarihi, that this is an indication of the qudra of Allah, the power of Allah, the absolute total power of Allah. He can change a person's condition just by saying be, and it will be changed. Okay, these two hadith, the third and fourth hadith, I want to just mention briefly, yani something from the benefits of these hadith, how they affect our behavior. Al-fa'idah al-maslakiyah. From the third hadith, the hadith in which it mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs at two men, one of them who killed the other and both of them went into the paradise. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, from the benefits of this hadith in reference to behavior, he said, من هذا الحديث يعني الفائدة المسلقية من هذا الحديث هو أننا إذا علمنا أن الله عز وجل يضحك فإننا نرجو منه كل خير. يعني if we know, if we believe that this hadith is authentic, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us this, he said, if we know this, then if we know that Allah laughs, he said, then we would have hope in him for every khair. For this reason, a man said to the Prophet ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, does our Rabb laugh? And he said, Naam, yes. And the man said, Lan na'dama min Rabbin yadhaku khayran. Yani we will never be deprived of good from a Rabb who laughs. The Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, if we know that our Rabb laughs, then the doors unfold for hope for every khayr. And that is because there's a difference in people. There's a difference between the person who frowns and you never hardly ever saw them laugh, as opposed to a person who laughs. So that means that the person who laughs, there's hope for good from them, as opposed to the person who's frowning all the time, you wouldn't want to be in need of them because you wouldn't expect or have any hope in any good from them. The second hadith that we mentioned, the fourth, which is the fourth hadith from the original text from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen also mentions from the behavioral benefits from this hadith, he says, أَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا عَلِمَ ذَلِكَ. If a person knows that the change in their condition is near, Allah changing their condition is near. If a person knows that their faraj, their relief is near, as mentioned in that hadith, he said, if a person knows that from Allah, that he will change their condition, that the change in their condition is near and the relief is near. حَظِرَ مِنْ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ وَهُوَ الْقُنُوتْ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Then a person would beware, they would beware of this affair, that is, losing hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, يعني القنوت is that a person considers the mercy of Allah to be far away, not near, distant, maybe it will never come. While what is obligatory upon the human being is an yuhsin, adhan bi rabbihi, that a person should think good about Allah, should think good about Allah. If he supplicates, he should ahsan adhan bihi, bi annahu sayujibuhu. And he should expect that Allah is going to answer him. And if a person worships Allah in the way that Allah has legislated, he should expect that Allah will accept it from him. And if a person, yani, is in a difficult situation, he should have husnul dhan billahi, and he should expect that Allah is going to relieve him from that. The next hadith that the Shaykh explains was the last hadith that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned. Yani he went from the fourth hadith here to the sixth hadith. هَكَذَا قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الْآخَى. And likewise, the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in another hadith, يَقُولُ تَعَالَى يَا آدَمْ فَيَقُولُ لَبَيْكُ وَسَعَدَيْكُ فَيُنَادِي بِسَوْتٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكَ أَن تُخْرِجَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَتِكَ بَعَثًا إِلَى النَّارِ. And in another hadith, the final hadith that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, says that Allah the Most High will say, Ya Adam. And he will call out to Adam. This will take place on Yawm al-Qiyamah. فَيَقُولُ لَبَيْكُ وَسَعَدَيْكُ. And he will say, لَبَيْكُ وَسَعَدَيْكُ. And the scholars have explained these words in a lot of different ways. In any case, maybe the simplest explanation of them, لَبَيْكُ يعني, here I am at your command, in obedience to you. And سَعَدَيْكُ, yani meaning, O Allah, yani since I'm in obedience to you, then yani make me to have good fortune. Yani make me, yani help me to obey you and then to be successful and receive your reward. He said, فَيُنَادِي بِسَوْتٍ فَيُنَادِي بِسَوْتٍ. Then he will call out with a voice. In the English translation and in the Arabic text in the English translation, it says, فَيُنَادَى بِسَوْتٍ. And the difference in the meaning of yunada and yunadi is yunada means it will be called out without saying who is the one who is doing the calling. And yunadi means he will call out. And so actually the meaning, the correct meaning here is yunadi, that he, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will call out, as mentioned by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin. He said, قَالَ فَيُنَادِي أي اللَّهُ, يعني Allah, He is the one who will call out. فَالْفَاعِلُ, يعني for this verb, the one who is doing the action, is Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he said, فَيُنَادِي بِكَسْرِ الدَّالِ. And he's correcting the reading of this word. Not يُنَادَى, but يُنَادِي. وَالْمُنَادِي, and the one who is calling out, هو الله سبحانه وتعالى. So just because of the translation that we are reading from, is translating from a text where the word in Arabic came yunada, which is incorrect. The word should be yunadi. And it's clear here that what is intended is that Allah will call out. And he'd be sawtin, with a voice that would be heard. Allah will call out, be sawtin, yani with a voice that would be heard. He will say, إِنَّ اللَّهِ, that indeed Allah has commanded you to bring forth, yani to separate from your offspring, a group that will be going to the fire. Ba'athan ila an-nar. The Shaykh says, فَهَذَا فِيهِ إِثْبَاتْ السَّوْتْ لِلَّهِ. Yani in these words is the affirmation of the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having a sawt, yani a voice that is heard. وَأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَهُ سَوْتٌ يُسْمَعُ, that he has a voice that is heard. تَسْمَعُهُ الْمَلَائِكَ, the angels hear it. وَسَمِيَهُ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, and Musa heard it. وَسَمِيَهُ مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لَيْلَةِ الْمِعْرَاجِ. So, yani the Shaykh is saying here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this hadith is described with calling out, and he's described with having a voice that is heard. It is heard by the angels, it was heard by Musa alayhi salam, it was heard by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of the night journey. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen in his commentary says that this will take place on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and in it is an affirmation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling out whenever He wills and however He wills, to whomever He wills. And he also said that the ba'ath ila an-nar, the group of people that will go to the fire, he said the meaning here is al-mab'uth al-muwajjah ila an-nar, yani that group of people who will be sent forward to the fire. And the meaning here is Allah is telling Adam alayhi salam, mayyiz أهل النار من غيرهم, يعني distinguish, separate the people of the fire from the others. Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah, he says the meaning of the statement إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكَ, that Allah commands you to bring forth a group from that will be thrown in the fire, he said it came in another hadith in Bukhari, أَنَّهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَلْفٍ 999, yani that from every 1,000 people, 999 would be those who would be thrown, who would be in the fire. And out of every 1,000 people, 999 people would be in the fire. This is the group that Allah commanded Adam alayhi salam to separate from his offspring, those who will be in the fire. He said, لا ينجو إلا واحد من الألف. Yani that only one from 1,000 would be saved, and he would escape from the fire. 999 out of 1,000 would be in the fire. هذا يدل على عظم الخطر. This indicates the severity of this danger of the hellfire. A person shouldn't take it lightly. The matter is serious. 999 people from every 1,000 will be in the fire. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ. And for this reason, Allah, the Majestic, the Most High, He said, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Surah Yusuf 12, Surah 103rd Ayah, that most of the people, even if you were diligent and eager in trying to save them, most of them will not be believers. Most of the people will not be believers. وَقَالَ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ. And He also said in Surah Al-An'am 6, Surah 116th, Ayah, وَإِن تُطِعَ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّوكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That if you were to obey most of the people in the earth, they would yani cause you to go astray from the path of Allah. If you were to obey most of the people in the earth, they would cause you to go astray. And He also said in Surah Saba, 34th Surah, 20th Ayah, saying of Allah, وَلَقَدَ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ. Yani, that Iblis, what he thought about the Bani Adam, yani, became true. He was truthful, yani, he was correct in what he expected from them. And the ayah continues by saying that they followed him. Yani, all of the people followed him, except a group from amongst, except the believers. Yani, most of the people followed him. That's what he expected, and that's what it was. وَلَمَّا سَمِيَ السَّحَابَ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ من كل ألف تسعو مئة وتسعة وتسعون عظم عليه الأمر. So when the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, when they heard about this matter, they considered it to be a tremendous affair. Yani it was frightening. They were concerned. And out of every 1,000 people, 999 are going to be in the hellfire. Yani if a person believes that that's true, you should be concerned. If they were concerned, and they were the best of people after the prophets and messengers, then what about us? Then what about us? And this is a point that needs to be reflected upon, but because we are dealing with time, Allah musta'an, and you reflect yourself on this matter. If the best of people in the earth after the prophets and messengers were concerned, they believed this to be true, and it was a cause of concern, عَظُمَ عَلَيْهِمْ الْأَمْرِ, then we should also be more concerned, because it's more likely that we would not escape from the fire, more likely that we would not escape than for them. And if they have a better chance by far than we have, and they were concerned. The Prophet ﷺ said in the completion of this hadith, لا تقافوا إن التسعمية وتسعة وتسعين من يأجوج وما أجوج. He said, don't fear the 999 out of the 1,000, it will be from the Gog and Magog. And the people who would come in the end of time, and who would yani cause any evil and corruption in the earth, that most of the people in the hellfire would be from them. وَمِنْكُمْ وَاحِدٌ مِنْ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ غَيْرُ يَعْجُوزُ وَمَعْجُوزُ. And from amongst you, from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will be that one that will be saved from the fire. Yani, not from Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. فهذا يدل على أن كثرة الداخلين في النار من يعجوج ومعجوج الذين هم من أخبث الناس يخرجون في آخر الزمان. And this indicates to us that most of the people who would enter the hellfire would be from Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, those who will be the most evil, filthy people in the earth and they would appear in the end of time. And they would appear in the end of time. Now, the next hadith mentioned, or after this, the Shaykh says, yeah, hadith number 5. Okay, so he goes back to hadith number 5. He says, كَذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا تَزَالُ جَهَنَّمُ يُلْقَى فِيهَا. Likewise, he's saying, that is the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that the hellfire will continue to have people thrown into it. يُلْقَى فِيهَا. وَهِيَ تَقُولْ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. While the hellfire, a created being, the hellfire, it will speak. And it will say, is there any more? Yani, bring some more. Yani, it wants to be filled with the people that deserve to be punished. هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. Yani, it is saying, are there any more? We have plenty of space here. So it won't be, yani, اللهم استعان. It's quite serious. The Prophet ﷺ said, حَتَّى يَضَعَ الْجَبَّارُ يعني رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ, as it came in the text of the hadith, حَتَّى يَضَعَ الْجَبَّارُ or رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ فِيهَا رِجْلَهُ وَفِي رِوَايَةِ عَلَيْهَا قَدَمَهُ فَيَنْزَوِي بَعْدُهَا إِلَى بَعْدٍ فَتَقُولُ قَطْ قَطْ أي حَسْبِي حَسْبِي. يعني the Prophet ﷺ said that this would, yani the people would continually be thrown into the hellfire until the hellfire would say, are there any more? Bring some more. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would put his leg in it or upon it. In one narration, it says his foot. رِجْلَهُ وَقَدَمَهُ. In the two narrations, until the, yani, the hellfire, part of it would, yani, come together with another part of it until there was no room left for anyone else to be placed in it. And it will say, enough. Enough, حسبي حسبي. The Shaykh, he says, ففيه إثبات القدم والرجل لله على وجه اللائق به. So in this hadith is the affirmation of القدم, the foot, والرجل, the leg, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that is befitting of Him. على وجه اللائق به. فهو سميع بصير. Indeed, He is the one who is hearing and seeing. وله يد, and He has a hand. وَلَهُ قَدَمْ, and he has a foot. كُلُّهَا صِفَاتٌ تَلِيقُ بِهِ. All of these are sifat, qualities or characteristics or descriptions that are befitting of Allah. لَا يُشَابِهُ خَلْقَهُ فِيهَا. He doesn't resemble anything in the creation in these qualities or characteristics. لَا فِي سَمْعِهِ وَلَا فِي بَصَرِهِ وَلَا فِي يَدِهِ وَلَا فِي قَدَمِهِ وَلَا فِي ضَحَكِهِ وَلَا فِي غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. Yani Allah doesn't resemble the creation in any of these qualities or characteristics. The human beings hear and they see, and Allah hears and sees, but the seeing and the hearing of Allah doesn't resemble the seeing and the hearing of the created beings. Neither his hand, nor his foot, nor his laughing, or other than that. فَصِفَاتُ اللَّهِ وَأَسْمَاهُ تَلِيقُ بِهِ وَصِفَاتُ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ تَلِيقُ بِهِمْ. Yani the sifat, the characteristics and qualities and the names of Allah are befitting of Him, and the qualities and characteristics of the created beings are befitting and appropriate for them. قال تعالى ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. Yani there is nothing like Him, while He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. Yani as we came up with this ayat many times in the past, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is negating there being any resemblance between Him and anything in the creation, and then at the same time affirming that there are qualities and characteristics that the human being, the created beings, are described with, and Allah is also described with them. But He already said there's no resemblance between Him and the creation. So we have to negate any resemblance while affirming whatever He has affirmed for Himself, even if similar expressions are used for created beings. Created being said He sees, and Allah sees. Same word is used, but there's no resemblance between them. He says also, that's in Surah Ash-Shura, 11th ayat, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. Surah Al-Ikhlas, 4th ayat. and there is no one or nothing that is equal or yani comparable to him. And then he mentions from Surah An-Nahl, 74th ayat, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ أَمْثَالَ الْأَمْثَالِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And don't make any similitudes, any examples for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah knows while you do not know. The Shaykh, he says here, هَكَذَا قَالَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجُمَعَةِ. This is how يعني it was said by the أهل السنة والجماعة. يعني this is the view of أهل السنة والجماعة في جميع الصفات. يعني that we affirm what Allah has affirmed for Himself, whether in the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah, without there being any resemblance between the qualities of the created beings and Allah, but affirming these qualities for Allah in a way that is appropriate and suitable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the view of the أهل السنة والجماعة concerning all of the صفات that came in the Quran and Sunnah. بابها واحدٌ. Yani the manner of dealing with them is one manner. It's one way of dealing with them, all the same way. Affirming what Allah affirmed for Himself, or what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed for Him in a manner that's befitting of Him, without making any resemblance, without making examples, without denying, rejecting, making, yani asking how, without any of that. This is the way of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, خلافاً للجهمية والمعتزلة والأشعرية وغيرهم. Yani as opposed to the methodology or the way of these groups of deviation, the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and the Ash'ariyyah and other than them and other groups besides them. مِمَّنْ أَلْحَدَ فِي صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ. From amongst those who deviated concerning the sifat of Allah. Concerning those who deviated concerning the sifat of Allah. And then he mentions briefly, فَالْجَحْمِيَّةِ نَفَوْا أَسْمَاءَ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ جَمِيعًا. The Jahmiyyah, they negated, they rejected, they denied the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah. All of them. All of them. They are the worst. وَالْمُعْتَزِلَ نَفَوْا الصِّفَاتِ وَأَثْبَتُوا الْأَسْمَاءَ الْمُجَرَّدَ مِنَ الْمَعَانِي. And the Mu'tazila, they also negated the sifat of Allah that came in the Quran and authentic Sunnah. But they affirmed the names of Allah without any meaning. They affirmed the names of Allah, but without any meaning, without them having any real meaning. And they are less than the Jahmiyyah. And the least of them, he said, وَالْأَشْعَرِيَّةِ وَالْتَوَائِفُ أُخْرَى. The Ash'ariyyah and other groups. And in the translation it said, and the Ash'ariyyah are another group, or something like that. It says here, well, Ash'ariyyah and other groups. So there are lots of other groups as well. He said that they nafa'u ba'dan wa athbatu ba'dan. Yani they negated some and they affirmed some. And in the footnote, it refers to the explanation of Aqeedah al-Wasitiyah by Sheikh Muhammad Khalil al-Harras, where he says, أثبتوا, yani the Ash'ari and some of those other groups, أثبتوا أسماء الله, they affirm the names of Allah, ونفعوا الصفات, and they negated the صفات إلا سبعة منها. Yani the Ash'ari and some other groups, they affirm the names of Allah, but they negated the صفات except seven of them. They only affirmed seven of the صفات, and they are al-hayat wal-ilm, that Allah is described with having life and knowledge, wal-qudra wal-irada, and Allah is described with having power and will, was-sam wal-basar wal-kalam, and that Allah is described with hearing and seeing and speech. So they negated the sifat of Allah, the Ash'ariyyah, except seven. And those seven are what? Without looking at the book? Huh? Speech, knowledge, life, ilm, Qudra, power, hearing, seeing, irada, will, na'am. Jayid, mashallah. Then the Shaykh, he says, والسواب, yani what is correct, هو إثبات جميع ما جاء في الكتاب والسنة من أسماء الله وصفاته. Yani, what is correct is that we affirm everything that came in the book and the sunnah concerning the names of Allah and His sifat. We affirm all of it. كل ما صح به الخبر عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو مثل ما جاء في القرآن يجب إثباته لله على الوجه لاك بالله. يعني that everything that is authentically reported from that which is narrated from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then it is just like, يعني it has the same ruling as that which came in the Quran. It is obligatory to affirm it for Allah سبحانه وتعالى in a manner that is befitting of Allah. من غير تحريف ولا تعتيل ولا تحريف ولا تعتيل ولا تكييف ولا تمثيل. يعني without distorting their meanings and without denying their meanings and without trying to explain how they are or making examples of them. Then he says بل على حد قوله سبحانه. يعني but we should explain it in a way that is in accordance with the saying of Allah ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير ولم يكن له كفوا أحد ولم فلا تضربوا لله الأمثال. يعني we should understand it in a way that is وفق, يعني with is in agreement with the saying of Allah, there's nothing like Him, while He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, and there's no one that is equal to Him, and don't make examples for Allah, يعني between Him and the creation. Concerning this fifth hadith, يعني that the hellfire would continue to have thrown in it people until it will say, are there any more? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would place His leg or His foot upon the hellfire so that there will be no space left, so that it will be full. The Shaykh says, الفائدة المسلكية من هذا الحديث, يعني the behavioral benefit from this hadith, هو الحذر الشديد من عمل أهل النار خشية أن يلقى الإنسان فيها كما يلقى غيره. And from the benefits of this hadith that should affect our behavior is that a person should, يعني الحذر الشديد, a person should be extremely cautious, careful from, يعني beware of doing the deeds of the people of the hellfire, for fear that one may be thrown in the hellfire just like others are thrown in the fire. Yani what guarantee that does a person have that all of these people are being thrown in the fire? What guarantee does a person have that they will not be amongst them? So that this hadith and its reality should be a cause of a person taking care and being cautious to avoid the actions of the people of the hellfire, any disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just want to make a quick note here. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says concerning this hadith, he says that أَمَّا الرَّجُلْ وَالْقَدَمْ فَمَعَنَاهُمَا وَاحِدْ. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said that as far as the narration that mentions the rijl, the leg of Allah, and the other narration that mentions the qadam, he said the meaning of those two words are the same. Yani what is intended by them is the same. And before we go to the last hadith, from the book that I asked you to pay attention to, Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla. Does anybody have that book? The Exemplary Principles, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. Huh? So he mentions Al-Qaida Al-Sabiyah. Seventh principle is Al-Ilhad fi Asma'i Allahi Ta'ala وهو الميل بها عما يجب فيها. يعني Al-Ilhad, the Shaykh said, as the position of the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah is to confirm whatever, to affirm whatever Allah has described Himself with or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the authentic hadith, as opposed to those people who يعني engaged in Ilhad. Al-Hada fi Asma'i Allahi wa Sifatihi. Shaykh says Al-Ilhad, and I'm not going to read all that he said, but just to summarize it, Al-Ilhad, concerning the names of Allah the Most High, it is that a person deviates from what is obligatory concerning these names and sifat. They deviate from that which is obligatory. What is obligatory? Is that we affirm what Allah has affirmed for Himself in a manner that's befitting of His Majesty, without making any resemblance to anything in the creation. and affirming that these sifat and these names are real sifat and real names for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, nobody knows the reality, yani, of how they are except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said this is, yani, ilhad is to deviate from that which is obligatory concerning the names of Allah and His sifat. And it is of different types. And I'm just going to summarize the four types he mentions here. The first of them is that a person rejects something from those names or those sifat, or, yani, rejects something of the names of Allah, like the Jahmiyyah, they rejected them all. Reject something from those names or that which they indicate, the sifat that they point to, or the ahkam, the rulings that may be derived from them. And this is was the way of the Ahl Ta'atil from the Jahmiyyah and other than them. The second type, and he mentioned some details, but only for the sake of time. The second type, he said, and يَجْعَلَهَا دَالَةٌ عَلَى الصِّفَاتِ تُشَابِهُ الصِّفَاتِ الْمَخْلُقِينَ كَمَا فَعَلَ أَهْلُ التَّشْبِيهِ. He said the second type of ilhad is that you make, yani, the names of Allah or the sifat of Allah, you make them to point to characteristics or qualities that resemble the characteristics or qualities of the created beings. And this was what was done by the Ahlul Tashbih, the people who made resemblance between Allah, His qualities and characteristics, and the created beings. The third type, and يُسَمِّيَ Allah Ta'ala بِمَا لَمْ يُسَمِّ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ لَمْ يُسَمِّ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ كتسمية النصارى له العبد وتسمية الفلاسفة إياه العلة الفاعلة. The third type of ilhad is that you name Allah with what He didn't name Himself with. Like the Christians saying that He is the Father. Or like the philosophers saying that He is the العلة الفاعلة. I don't know what that means. Yani the active cause or something. Some people who don't, they don't acknowledge the created being, they said, yani, there's some force or something they believe in. Higher power, there it is. That's what I was trying to think of, the higher power. Allahu musta'an, may Allah guide. The fourth type and the last type that the Shaykh mentions is, and يَسْتَقَّ مِنْ أَسْمَاهِ أَسْمَى لِلْأَسْنَامِ كَمَا فَعَلَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Yani, it is to extract from His names new names that they name their idols with, like the Mushrikeen did. From the name Naham, Allat al-Uzza, they named Allah, and from Allah's name Al-Aziz, they got the name Al-Uzza, and from Allah's name, from Allah Al-Ilah, they got Allat, and so on. So these are four types of ilhad, and the Shaykh says, وَمِنْهَا مَا يَكُونُ شِرْكًا أَوْ كُفْرًا. Yani, some of it is shirk, and some of it is kufr, yani, in accord with whatever the legal evidences of the sharia or the adilla al-shara'iyya may point to, it being kufr or shirk or whatever. The last hadith that the Shaykh mentions is the second hadith in the order of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's text, and that is, كَذَلِكَ حَدِيثِ لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ مِنْ عَهْدِكُمْ كَانَ عَلَى رَاحِلَتِهِ بِأَرْضِ فَلَاتْ فَانْفَلَتَتْ مِنْهُ, to the end of the hadith. Yani, that indeed Allah is أَشَدُّ فَرْحًا, is more happy, extremely more happy with the repentance of His worshipper, of any one of you, than the one who was on his riding animal in the desert and the animal escaped from him. And the hadith is a famous hadith that is worth reading and reviewing. But in any case, the point is what? That a man is in the desert. And I don't know if anybody has been in the desert before, but if you were way out in the desert and your car broke down, you could be in despair. Well, now they have telephones and stuff, but I have been in the desert. The car didn't break down, but it got dark. And we couldn't find our way back. That is a difficult situation. A big, gigantic desert, and you can't get out. But alhamdulillah, we just kept driving until we saw a fire. We found some Bedouins, and they said, we'll take you back only after we slaughter an animal and feed you first. I just wanted to get back, but there was no way to get back except you have to eat and drink the camel meat. Camel milk, I mean. Allahu Akbar. Hot camel milk that they just milked. Allahu Akbar. Naam. The person's in the desert and they can't get out. They lost their riding animal. Not even like the car you're driving around. Maybe there's some hope you might find a way back. If you just keep driving, you might get to the end of the desert somewhere. But no, he lost his camel with his food, drink, provisions, everything's there. He gave up. He laid under a tree to die. And then suddenly his camel came to him and he grabbed hold of it. And I think the Sheikh mentions a little bit over here, so I'll just read what he said. He says here from this hadith, فَالْفَرَحُ وَصْفٌ لِلَّهِ يَلِيكُ بِاللَّهِ. So being happy is a description, a wasf for Allah that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَفْرَحُ لَكَ فَرَحْ الْمَخْلُقِينَ. Yani he's happy, but his happiness is not like the happiness of the created beings. وَيَرْضَ لَكَ رِضَاهُمْ. And he is pleased, but not like the characteristic of being pleased of the created beings. And he becomes angry, but not like the anger of the created beings. فَالْإِنسَانَ الَّذِي ذَهَبَتْ مِنْهُ نَاقَتُهُ. Yani the human being whose camel escaped from him. وَهُوَ فِي أَرْضِ فَلَاتٍ. And he is in the desert. وَاتَّجَعَ تَحْتَ شَجَرَةٍ يَنْتَظِرُ الْمَوْتِ. So he lays down underneath a tree, just waiting to die. And what can you do? There's nothing to do except try to keep walking like to nowhere. So he just lay down on the tree to die, waiting to die. ثُمَّ وَجَدَ الرَّاحِلَ عِنْدَ رَأْسِهِ. Then he found his riding animal above his head. فَقَالَ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْفَرَحِ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ عَبْدِي وَأَنَا رَبُّكَ أَخْتَى مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْفَرَحِ. Yani he said, oh Allah, yani due to the extreme happiness of his life being saved, due to his extreme happiness, he said, oh Allah, you are my abd. You are my slave. And I am your Rabb. Yani he made a mistake in this expression due to the severity of his happiness. He was so happy. He was so extremely happy that he said something yani insane, right? Oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Rabb. And the scholars of Sunnah said that a person who is in severe anger and severe happiness, and the mistake that they make and what they say out of that condition, that emotional state, and the excuse from it. Yani, it doesn't mean that the person now, because they said that, they are going to be in the hellfire. The Shaykh says, فَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ أَفْرَهُ بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ مِنْ هَذَا بِرَاحِلَتِهِ. Allah is more happy with the repentance of one of his worshippers than that man is happy over getting back his camel. مَا أَنَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي تَفَضَّلَ بِهَا. Even though Allah is the one who favored them, favored that person to repent. Allah is the one who favored them to repent. But he's happy, more happy with their repentance than the person whose camel came back to him. هُوَ الَّذِي يَمَنُّ بِهَا. And he is the one who, yani, gave them this favor. Allah is the one who gave them the favor of repentance. Yani Allah put in their heart the inclination to repent. And then Allah accepted their repentance. And with all of that, he's still more happy with his abd who turns back to him after disobedience and separating himself from Allah and coming back, yani, to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَفْرَهُ بِهَا مِنْ عَبْدِهِ. Allah is very happy with the repentance of his abd. وَهُوَ الْمَنَّانُ بِهَا وَالْمُوَفَّقُ لَهَا جَلَّ وَعَلَى سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَاللَّهُ مُوَفَّقُ. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَى الْجَمِيعِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives freely, yani, who gave this yani ability and the success to the person to repent. He is the one who gives success. Yani success is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah that he accept the repentance of everyone, of all of us. And I'll close with this final benefit from Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, because our 60 minutes didn't end yet. A few seconds remaining. Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, concerning this hadith, and it was the second hadith in the text of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, "Min al-nahiya al-maslakiyya," yani from the perspective of the side of yani behavior, how the meanings in the hadith can affect or should affect our behavior. Yufiduna an nahrisa ala tawba ghayat al-hirs. Yani what we benefit from this is that it should cause us to be extremely eager, diligent, desirous of repenting. Yani having the greatest desire possible to repent. فَأَنْتَ إِذَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْرَهُ بِتَوْبَتِكَ هَذَا الْفَرْحِ. الذي لا نظير له ولا شك أنه ولا شك أنك سوف يعني تحرص غاية الحرص على التوبة. يعني if you know for sure with certainty that Allah is more happy with your repentance, يعني a happiness like is described here, that there's nothing like it, there's no doubt that you would be diligent and eager, يعني with the utmost diligence and eagerness, يعني to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam Muslim narrated this hadith in the book of Tawbah under the chapter Al-Hadh ala Tawbah wal-Farh biha, يعني the encouragement to repent and the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our repentance. And I think it's appropriate that we end يعني this session tonight with this subject of repentance, which is one of the most important acts of worship that a Muslim can do. Repentance. There's no one that's not in need of it. And if we know that Allah is more happy with us turning back to Him, then how much more then should we concentrate on this repentance? Repentance, and for it to be accepted, has conditions. What are the conditions of repentance? Number one.
Sincerity.
Okay, sincerity, al-ikhlas. Number two.
Regret,
nadam, naam. Number three.
Intention to not go back.
Intention, yani, not just intention, but azm, yani, firm resolve not to go back to doing it again. Number four. Naam.
If you took something from someone, you have to give it back.
Okay, if you took something from somebody, you have to give it back. Naam. Okay, stop doing it. Stop doing it. Yani, that a person leaves it. And if it involves the rights of people, then it has to be returned to them. Naam. Did we say how many? How many did we just say? Four?
Five.
Okay, naam. So, any these, there's one. No, we mentioned four. We mentioned four. And you have to stop doing it? You have to feel remorse for it? Did we mention remorse?
Mm-hmm.
We have to make firm resolve not to go back to it? We have to do it sincerely for the sake of Allah? And the Shaykh mentions the fifth condition, it has to be done in the time when tawbah is accepted. It has to be done in the time when tawbah is accepted. That is, a person before they die, or for the general humanity before the major signs of the last day, like the rising of the sun from the west. So these are conditions of tawbah. Yani if a person wants their tawbah to be accepted, they have to fulfill the conditions of tawbah. May Allah grant us success, yani in repenting to Him, and in recognizing our shortcomings, our mistakes and our errors, and yani feeling remorse for it, yani feeling sincere remorse in our heart for what we have done, making firm resolve not to return to it. Making firm resolve not to return to it. And repenting sincerely for the sake of Allah, not for any worldly benefit, or to impress the people, or to be seen by the people as a person who is repentant. Rather, it has to be sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone. And that He recognize reward and record. Record and reward our good deeds, and pardon and forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He grant us al-thabat ala sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him, and until we leave this world, and return to Him in a condition in which we are pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant complete and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, and that He grant relief to the Muslims, to the believing people in Palestine and in Yemen and in India and in Sudan and in every place in the earth. And indeed Allah is the one that we have hope in for relief. And there is no calamity that befalls us except by the permission of Allah, except by the decree of Allah. And Allah doesn't decree a decree for the believer except that it's good for them. So it's incumbent upon us to accept Allah's decree and to place our hope in Him. Not in the rulers or the powers or the material asbab. Rather, al-akhth bil-asbab is part of tawakkul ala Allah. But the heart has to be connected to Allah. Any relief and change in any condition is with Allah alone. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.